tu sahanao bhunaktu sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Do any of the Chinese devotees preach to the Chinese in Calcutta?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, because there's like at least 100,000 in Calcutta.
Yeah.
It's a huge population. You know, in big groups. Yeah. One community is 330,000, another 20, another this, mm-hmm. that. There's a few up around.
They come for Umatati Maharaj, the Rasa Puja. Some Chinese devotees, they come for Umatati Maharaj.
No, but from China or from Calcutta?
From China.
No, we're talking about this, the Chinese people in Calcutta. They've been there for many generations. Like that.
They don't even know.
They don't see, because there's huge areas inside, because Calcutta is such that you can have these things inside and you don't even know it's there. A couple of times by accident, walked down a certain street trying to get to somewhere, a shortcut, and you walk through and everything's in Chinese, people going around on the rickshaws, you know, the whole thing. Yeah.
You take one turn, you think, oh, just cross through here, and you end up in a weird place.
Yeah, like that. Remember, we're going down one street. It's all like pipes and, you know, like hardware.
Yeah.
And I've been walking down the street for forever. One day I go out down and there's this gate that's open. Huge grounds inside, monster trees and green and everything.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Huh? Where did that come from?
Narnia.
Yeah, like that. You know, it's just like, wow. Verses 10 to 20. The Haryasvas assimilate Narad Muni's instructions. In verses 10 to 20, after attentively hearing the wise words of the gentle sage, the Haryasvas understood the import of his enigmatic message and renounced the mature world in order to engage in pure devotional service. So we saw with Paranjana how much time he had to spend and how big the analogy was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, it went for a few chapters, I think two or three chapters. But you see, here is basically in just a few verses, he said, because there, he was a gross materialist. Well, you know, pious, but materialistic. While here, they're basically paramahamsas, like that. So just that very short, and they could immediately understand. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing these enigmatic words of Narad Muni, the Haryasvas considered them with their natural intelligence, without help from others. The Haryasvas understood the meaning of Narad's words as followed. The word bhu, the earth, refers to the field of activities, the material body, which is a result of the living being's actions. Right? So this is going to come from purity, not from knowledge. Because daksha is very knowledgeable.
Yes.
Like that, you know, and we even see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very knowledgeable, but they don't catch it, you know. It takes longer. Daksha hasn't caught it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, right? Like that. But here, it's just they heard it, they contemplate it, and then they're able to make these connections. Yes.
So this purity, where is it coming from?
Definitely from previous lives, but from they performed their austerity. So they were, you know, they had good nature, a pure nature, you know, or I'd say an elevated nature, in that they were very gentle, they were very submissive to authority, right? Because those two qualities are very important. That's why we were discussing this morning, the weakness in not accepting authority isn't actually good for the spiritual system, because you always have, there's always authority, right? Does that make sense? And even if you're, you know, and so there's the authority in tattva, you know, which is odd, is there, because we don't catch that. There's also hierarchy in rasa. Right? You know, just by who's tasting what and how high, and it gets up to Krishna. But then from Krishna, it comes back to the devotees. Right? You know, so it's if that progression is not there, then what one will get from spiritual life, really? You know, one's definitely going to get something, but compared to what you could get, you know, it's like getting 5 rupees when you could have 5 lakhs. You know, so it is money. But that's the thing, is that, because Prabhupada said, what is the devotees ask, what does initiation mean? He says, accepting the order of the spiritual master is good as God. Yes. Right? So it's not up for, what are you saying? Relative discussion. Yeah. That's why that one point Prabhupada got very upset in 1980. Because of that aspect. They were relativizing his, you know, he said this, and that one said that, and yeah, and so then he probably got very disturbed. Right? Because he can't do that. Like here, we have what the acharyas say and this and that. We may do that with ourselves and this and that, but the principle of the guru, the acharyas, Krishna, we can't do that. If we do with that, then we mess with the whole system. You know, okay, the material, okay. The word buhu, the earth, refers to the field of activities, right? So he said there's this big land, right? The material body, which is a result of the living being's actions, is this field of activities. And it gives him false designations, right? So they have false designations, but they're very pure, right? Like that. Since time immemorial, he has received various types of material bodies, which are the roots of bondage to the material world. If one foolishly engages in temporary fruit of activities and does not look towards the cessation of this bondage, what will be the benefit of his actions? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The 10 items mentioned by Narada are explained in 10 verses to understand their meaning clearly. Right, so he gave basically this one verse, and then they take it apart. Yeah, and one verse explains like one word or one phrase or one thing. So you can understand this. And then we see, and then the acharyas are commenting on that. You know? So they're very, very, very exact, you know. First there is an explanation of, quote, not seeing the end of the earth, end quote. Earth refers to the subtle body, jiva samgyam, the cause of bondage without beginning for the soul. Nirvanam means destruction by knowledge. What can result from insubstantial karma yoga? Rather, you should strive to destroy karma. Right? Because his father is going to engage him in karma yoga. But Narad Muni's point is, you know, you should be trying to get rid of karma, not engaging your karma. Right? Does that make sense? Because here, this is, you know, what we're talking about with daksha. This is the lowest end of karma yoga, because it's bhakti mistra karma. You know, so it's still karma yoga. There's still the acceptance of the Supreme Lord and His order, right? But it's not what you'd call sampradayic. You know, it wouldn't be called what we call bhajana kriya, right? Bhajana kriya, then that karma yoga, that destroys karma. This bhakti mistra karma, that's just basically going to increase our entanglement in karma. Though, because it's connected to the Lord, it will be successful, and you'll slowly, slowly get purified. So we're not saying that, you know, after this, that daksha doesn't have a better position.
We live beyond the level of Shraddha.
It means Shraddha, meaning in that you're having that faith in the devotional process, yeah, and you're committing yourself to it. It's not that he doesn't have faith in the Lord. But it's not that he has faith in devotional service. Right? So that's a difference, because we'll take it that if you have any faith in the Lord, then that's devotional service.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of people with faith in the Lord.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's just like, does that make sense? I remember seeing some, I think it was some footage or something, it's just before the Russian army went off for battle with the Japanese,
mm-hmm.
you know, over that Vladivostok, that
yeah,
side.
Yeah.
Like that. Before they go out, and this wasn't I just remember seeing it from there, but other armies would do the same, is the priests would come out with holy water and sprinkle the troops.
Mm-hmm.
They'd walk through the whole army and sprinkle everybody. You know? So they had faith.
Yeah. You see, Christians, they have a lot of faith.
Yes, but the point is where's the but the devotion is not there. So they have faith in God, so he's there, this is supreme, and that if I, you know, surrender, I'll get some benefit. I'll get better facility, I'll get heaven. You know, heaven on earth, you know, now and maybe heaven later, but if you can get heaven on, you know, all the way down here, then I don't have to go anywhere, right? You only have to, you know, when on the judgment day, you only have to rise up 6 feet because heaven's on earth, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't have to rise higher than that. Yeah.
So, Maharaj?
Yes.
Can you say that to accept the spiritual master make a difference between faith in the Lord and faith in devotional service?
On one level, yes, you could. But at the same time, Prabhupada points out is that, you know, when you have these world religions, they have basically like the spiritual master. There's the local parish priest, you know, the rabbi, the monk, you know, somebody who they're looking up to and they're following and all that, but they're not committing themselves to the process of bhajana kriya, right? So their faith isn't that great that takes them through to that, and their association is not that strong.
Yeah, they don't have instruction.
Yes. So basically it's just how to be a nice person on the platform of Pranamoy.
Yes.
That's what Bhavishya Purana mentions, is that Jesus himself followed Dharma, but he preached sub-Dharma.
Yes.
Just be good, be nice, you know, be just, like this.
Yes.
He didn't actually preach, what is your duty? You know, and then let alone getting it all the way to that devotional aspect. I mean, it's just for that much they killed him. So, I mean, it's, you know.
So good luck on that beach.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. The funny part is what's his name? The pagans killed him, but they tried to blame it on the Jews.
Yeah.
Because then the Romans became Christians, so then, you know, they're kind of like forgiven, you know. It's weird.
Yes.
The Jews didn't like him, that's for sure.
Didn't like him?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, yeah, revolutionary.
Yeah, too progressive.
Yeah,
very progressive. So at that time they were very, you could say, very smarta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, very serious smartas. And so he was rocking the boat. But I don't think that they would take it to that point. They wouldn't have killed the guy. They just, you know, he's you know, they've been around so long that, you know, by that time it's already been 3,000 years. So, you know, guys like this come and go. So, you know, so it's actually, you know, it was done away with by the Romans, you know, for whatever political reasons were coming up.
And that has the exact opposite effect from what they were looking for.
Yes. So that's the whole point, is don't mess with the pure devotees. Yeah, but the point is the world religions, they're all preaching sub-dharma. That's the whole thing, is be good, be nice, and all that.
Is that where that's just moving in that sphere?
No, he's dealing with dharma.
Actually dharma.
He's actually dharma, but he's not actually seeing the element of moksha and bhakti. So he has faith in the Lord, but his faith then inspires him within karma. So following the laws of the Lord in karma, you're naturally elevated, but never to bhakti.
It's kind of a paramatma realization that's going on.
At best. Yeah, at best. You get to that. Because, he's God, he's the supreme, That's why he's coming with eight arms and and you see it's all weaponry.
Yeah.
There's no element of sweetness, because otherwise there would have been the lotus and the conch.
Yeah. And then
the conch was there.
It was there.
Yeah. Yes.
It sure was
there.
Yeah, the conch was there. Yes, yes.
So it was Shankha Chakra.
Shankha Chakra.
But the, with the gutta there was the rope. Yeah, I think but everything was paired. But with the gutta wasn't the it was lotus, I think it was rope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
rope. That was rope.
Yeah, there was the rope. I think that one, because bow and arrow, sword, shield go together. So that means Shankha Chakra were together.
Yeah.
And then the club and the rope.
Yeah.
Okay, so the lotus was missing.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, so it's according to the nature of the he's nevertheless no less attractive, no less sweet. Right? It's just a matter of what you are seeing. Because at that point, he could have just surrendered to the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Dhruva Maharaj, he asked for something way bigger than him. So that means he was so much more materialistically driven. But as soon as he saw the Lord, he gave it up. So Daksha could have been the same, but he didn't. He maintained that position. Because that's why then, seeing the Lord, he's offering basically in ecstasy that he's there. And he's feeling that transcendental ecstasy from being in contact with the Lord. But his determination in his Prajapati-ness didn't change.
Yes.
So this coming from aparad, from previous aparad.
Yes, that's a good point. It came from previous aparad. While it appears they don't have that, so as soon as they come in contact, they immediately move forward. Yeah.
He also saw the Lord previously.
Yes.
It wasn't the first time.
No. I mean, someone who's on the Prajapati level, then the thousand-headed Vishnu is with Brahma. He stays with him there, so then Brahma's sons are definitely going to see. Yes, he saw him first time he surrendered. Oh, I see what you're saying. His Daksha is seeing him all the time and still not surrendered.
And here it's disconcentration.
Disconcentration, okay. Because,
Rope and club.
Rope and club, yeah. So it means what's missing is the lotus. Like here in the Shingadeva, I think he's got the lotus, but he also has sword and shield. He has Shankha Chakra, got a Padma, and then the sword and shield.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that. Because two arms are looking for something to do. Yes. Yes. Srila Prabhupada adds, Narad Muni spoke to the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, about 10 allegorical subjects: the king, the kingdom, the river, the house, the physical elements, and so on. After considering these by themselves, the Haryasvas could understand that a living entity encaged in this body seeks happiness, but takes no interest in how to become free from his encagement. This is a very important verse, since all the living entities in the material world are very active, having obtained their particular types of bodies. A man works all day and night for sense gratification, and animals like hogs and dogs also work for sense gratification all day and night. Birds and beasts and all other conditioned living entities engage in various activities without knowledge of the soul encaged within the body. Especially in the human form of body, one's duty is to act in such a way that he can release himself from his encagement. But without the instructions of Narada or his representative in the succession, people blindly engage in bodily activities to enjoy Maya Shuka, flickering temporary happiness. Footnote 16. Editor's note. In the previous chapter, the Lord said to Daksha, after you give birth to many hundreds and thousands of children, they will also be captivated by my illusory energy and will engage like you in sexual intercourse. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.53. Although it was their quote-unquote destiny to be captivated by the illusory energy and create progeny, their association with a pure devotee, Narad Muni, altered that destiny. Because that destiny would just be the natural unfolding of the modes of nature.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Narada likes to use this allegory thing.
Yes.
What would be the benefit? Why is the same direct?
Because you can say something direct without the person being upset. But they have to be very sharp to be able to catch it.
Yeah.
See, because otherwise you kind of sometimes have to tiptoe around in this. Because it's about, see, if I'm talking about someone else having all kinds of bad qualities and unfortunate, I can say it very directly.
Yeah.
But if I'm talking about you, I can't do that.
Yeah, but somehow people not connect what you say in allegory with themselves in many instances.
Yes, but that's why you see us here, as Narad Muni uses it in such a way that they catch it. You know, and if they don't so much, he does definitely doesn't get involved. Or you can have a straight discussion like Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Yeah.
You know, so there it's just, you know, how you say Mahajanas sitting down together and having a discussion. But, you know, otherwise he could be very straight. You know, it's like with, what's his name? But it was simple. It was, what's his name? I think Dasaratnakar. Dasaratnakar, he was a highway bandit. You know, people would come down the road and he'd attack or kill and steal all their stuff and all that. So he was quite a feared bandit. And as, you know, Narad Muni happened to be walking that way and Dasaratnakar came out, you know, like this. And he said, okay, you know, so, you know, what are you doing? You know? And so he says, you know, I'm robbing, I'm maintaining my family. Says, but now you're stealing and all that, so that's going to be and, you know, and injuring people and all this, so that's going to be sinful. And you're doing all this for your family, so is your family willing to share in the reactions for all this? And he says, what does that got to do with anything? He says, well, you're working for them, taking on the sin for them. You should be confident that they're willing to share in the reactions. You know, so he says, you go, you know, you find that out. And then if they say they are, then you can rob me. If not, he says, you know, says, well, how, you know, if I go, you'll go. He says, no, I'm a sadhu. I say, I'll stay. So, okay, then trusting that. So he went back and asked the family members, you know, that very question. They said, what are you talking about? You know, your duty is to maintain us. How you do it, that's your business. So the reaction to it's yours. It's nothing to do with us. You know, right? So then he was very disappointed, you know, to say the least. So he went back, and you know, like this, and Narad Muni explained to him devotional service. So then he then became a sadhu. Huh? Yeah, and then with time, you know, his ashram became very famous, because that's the ashram where Lab and Kush were kept, and Sita Devi stayed.
Rich preaching. Rich preaching.
Yes. But, yeah. You know, so he found that kind of thing. He's very attached. He's, you know, he has that mood. You know, he's doing everything for, has that sense of duty, but, you know, like that. So then he can preach like that. So. Simple. Like that. Yes.
Having?
Right.
Yeah,
you're not going the direction I think you are you? Saying, we're not pure, so therefore I can't follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. I have to do whatever my mind says to do, whatever I feel like at the time. Oh. Okay. Let us say Srila Prabhupada offers arti to Radha Govinda in Calcutta. Okay, what will he do? When he picks up the incense, what will he do with it? What will Prabhupada do with the incense? Okay, and then what does he do with the bell? Okay, now let's say the brahmachari in the temple there is offering arti. What will he do with the incense? And what will he do with the bell? So then what's the problem? The crowd should not go. What do we care about a crowd? Since when are we looking for a crowd? It's just like this. You want cheap stuff? You go down, you know, where what is it? You know Park Street? You don't know Park Street? Oh, you're from Pune. Okay. You know Bombay a little bit? Okay, have you heard of a place there called Chore Bazaar?
Yeah.
Okay, you want junk? Go there. Lots of people like that. So that's the crowd. Right? You go down to the end of Marine Drive, you know, kind of where it ends. So there's a hotel there.
Mm.
Who's in that hotel? The crowd? Yeah, so then? So who has better status in society there? That end of Marine Drive or the other end where there's Chore Bazaar? You understand? So since when is the crowd, all this stuff a crowd? You know? Have you ever seen, you know, the stuff that they call entertainment these days? And the crowd's there, so it doesn't take much to keep them busy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's the problem. We're so worried about the crowd. You know who worries about crowds? Shudras. The crowd, yeah. Shudras worry about crowd. They worry about fame. People don't like, they feel bad. So when we say, well, if I preach and they don't like it, I'll feel, you know, then I feel insecure. That's Shudra mentality. Straight up front. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when we're going by on the road and there's a group of, you know, people on the other side of the road and one of them says Hare Krishna, he says he's the best man in the crowd. You know, if you want crowd, try ants. Now that's a lot bigger crowd. You know what I'm saying? The point is you get in a crowd. Some years back Something Maidan.
Cross
Maidan. Yeah, in Bombay. They probably did a program there when he was here. Huge, 20,000, 30,000. So they redid that. Huge amount of people came. How many from that joint? So that's the point, is you attract a crowd, but only a few will stay. So Prabhupada said if one person takes the mission seriously and goes back to Godhead, they'll consider the whole mission successful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the same. So you have to be very careful of that, the crowd mentality. That makes sense. So it's all about preaching according to what the person can relate to. These guys are smart. They can relate to this. Ruchina Barhishat, here's a nice story about a king. He's a king. Nice wife. He's got a wife. You know, family and all this, and he's got all that. And, you know, so then he can relate to it. So that's what preaching is. This idea is that if we preach and then people get upset, this and that, then don't preach. Go back home to your mommy, right? She makes nice chilas. Everything will be fine. Okay? Yeah. Hala?
Yeah, buddy.
You're not into chilas?
I don't even know what it
is. Chilas? It's a crepe made out of chickpea flour. They eat them salty.
Why?
That's what I'm saying. Go home, you get that, you know. So it's like, you know, so you don't have to worry about the crowd, right? Okay. Thus, submissively following the instructions of a pure devotee can eradicate any level of material conditioning. Right? Because that's what I was mentioning before. Krishna karma means you're not working under karma. Now, by karma, Prajapati is going to do what he does, his children will do, his grandchildren will do, you know, it's going to go on very nicely. But if they come in contact with the pure devotees, they step out of the cycle of karma. Like that. That's the whole thing. Devotees are working on a different thing. And we're thinking, oh, I have to function, you know, like in the material world. No, we have to function according to Krishna's direction. We do our duties, things will work. Right? So this modern mentality is so overrated. So overrated.
So we have to be very careful, because this is what the intelligent class can offer is that dynamic, how to do everything nicely in Krishna, or they can offer Naradamanness to the movement, which we don't need. Right? We're already having enough trouble with Artha, Artarthi, and Jigyasas. We don't need Naradamas also. You know, Mudas no one's going to go for because they're not smart enough. They don't have a degree, so, you know, like that. So we don't like that. And nobody likes the government or, you know, other, you know, like that. So we're not going to have the Asuras. Right? Like that. But the Mayaya Pratijnanas, they'll lead the charge. You know, that Naradamaism is the way to go. Okay? Have a bug. This is one of those little jumping ones.
No,
oh, the daddy long leg kind of ones. Oh. Or he's in. They're the ones that are supposed to be the most poisonous, but I think their mouth, their teeth, they don't have any way to bite you, so they can only bother little dinky bugs, you know. So. Yeah, isn't it? Far out like that? You know, it's like, what do you call it? Like Yoda, but he's only like 2 feet tall or something. You know? They do not know how to become free from their material entanglement. Encagement. Rishabdev therefore said that such activity is not at all good. Right? Now here's a father. Mm-hmm. He had 100 sons. Mm-hmm. Right? Now he's a king. But I think it's 81 of his sons became Brahmins. Mm-hmm. Only 9 were Kshatriyas and carried on that duty.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. then Oh, excuse me, 80. And then 11 of them became Paramahamsas. You know? And then he went on to become a Paramahamsa. So. Yeah. So we don't see in Daksha's program that it's there. He'll talk about renunciation later, just like we see it standard in the Hindu society. It's, oh, why is so young you're renouncing? You know, you should enjoy life now. When you get too old, you can't enjoy. Then you take up renunciation. You know, like it's working really well in Hindu society, right? Yes. All the old people are all... That's why, you know, Haridwar, Hrishikesh, and Varanasi are so full of all old Hindus who are all taking seriously to the path of renunciation. Right? No? No. Okay. Huh?
Popular statement.
Yeah, it's a very popular statement, but nobody does it. So. Yes.
We can say to defend Daksha.
You sure you want to defend Daksha? Okay. Okay, okay.
Because
you missed this morning's one. Okay, I get it.
Maybe
yeah.
Daksha, that was his group.
Yes.
So he wanted his sons to perform their duties.
Yes.
Just the opposite is the Kanchana Bharat. He was the king. He had 3 rulers left from the 100, so his duty will go on. Those all the guys
there. But he's Prajapati.
He's producing their
living. Yeah, but he can produce more. You know, it's like rabbits, you know, you don't have to worry. No, the thing is where's the saving your dependence from death?
That's very good.
Yes, but do we ever see Daksha discuss that? No. So that's the thing. He was talking about people not being able to see the Lord, but he didn't talk about devotional service. Right? So those same prayers by someone who understands devotional service, they get into very, very subtle and technical points of devotional service. But you could also, he's saying those prayers and not seeing devotional service. You know, so performance of the duties, if that's their inclination, but if in coming in devotional service it's not, then better to do devotional service, since the whole world's for devotional service. The reason to do duties is because that's God's law. But the point of duties and following God's law is actually devotional service. So you're coming from not following God's law to following God's law to devotional service. So if they're able to come to devotional service, then you take that, because that's actually the goal of the whole process. You know, so the point is if there's children who are not like that, you know, like Pachina Barhishat, his children, they you know, came to that advanced stage and all the, and that, and they continued in their duties like that. But here you have ones that they just come to the Paramahamsa platform, so there's not a problem. So it's very much up to the individual. Most people will just continue the duties. But if you have someone who can function outside of that, then that's always good. So, yeah.
And how come he got such elevated
He did all those nice austerities and worshiped the Lord. You know, you get some benefit for doing austerity for, you know, 5 manvantaras. So, you know what I'm saying? Can you imagine, you know, if some parent has a child, one child, two child, and they grow up, they're still devotees, they feel very, you know, good. Yeah, accomplished. Can you imagine 10,000 sons first, and all 10,000 become Paramahamsas? Right? Not bad. So you could say from there, he's, you know, on the devotional platform, he's a great father. But unfortunately, he doesn't quite see it that way. He doesn't quite catch the
so close.
The gloriousness of his position. You know, he could be, he could be the father of the year, father of the manvantar, you know, like that, you know.
Like the little world's best dad.
Yeah. Yes. Our universe's best dad. Yeah. Yeah. They do not know how to become free. Did we read all this? No. We read this one. We're on the next one, the Haryashvas. The Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, could immediately understand the purport of Narada's instructions. Our Krishna conscious movement is especially meant for such enlightenment. We are trying to enlighten humanity so that the people may come to the understanding that they should work hard in tapasya for self-realization and freedom from the continuous bondage of birth, death, old age, and disease in one body after another. Maya, however, is very strong. She is expert in putting impediments in the way of this understanding. Therefore, sometimes one comes to the Krishna conscious movement, but again falls into the clutches of Maya, not understanding the importance of this movement.
Right? Like this. So it happens. But the point is whatever is done in devotional service is not lost. So then that's the point. But it's actually to come to the point of full Krishna conscious. So we want to become detached. So it's... point is to get to the platform of sannyas. So whether one goes straight from the student stage to that point of renunciation, or one goes through grihastha vanaprastha like this and comes to, whenever one can come to that mentality, that's what we're trying to get. Does that make sense? That's actually the point of the Krishna conscious movement. You know. And this movement, as we see, is Narad Muni is, you know, one of the first main preachers of the movement. Yeah, so we connect. Our movement is that same movement. It's the same. You know, people will say, "Oh, it's this institution. It's a, you know, how you say a managerial structure that Prabhupada put together." No, this is the movement of Vaishnavism, and there's four lines of it. Right. So in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, Narad Muni is your first preacher in there. Right? So.
Narad Muni had said that there is a kingdom where there is only one male. The Haryashvas realized the purport of this statement. The only enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who observes everything everywhere. He is full of 6 opulences and fully independent of everyone else. He is never subject to the 3 modes of material nature, for he is always transcendental to this material creation. The members of human society do not understand him, the Supreme, through their advancement in knowledge and activities, but simply work very hard like cats and dogs all day and night for temporary happiness. What will be the benefit of their activities? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura elaborates.
This verse explains one kingdom with one person. Turiya refers to that fourth state different from waking. Vishwa, dreaming, Taijasa, and deep sleep states, Pragya. The kingdom is the universe. Abhavam means the Lord by whom samsara does not exist for the devotees. Not seeing the Lord means not perceiving Him through worship. One should therefore worship Him. Because it's only by worshiping can we perceive. Right? Through intellect we can't perceive, by tapasya, by any other method, by any other religious process we can't perceive. Narad Muni had described that there's a bila, or a hole, from which having entered one does not return. The Haryashvas understood the meaning of this allegory. Hardly once has a person who has entered the lower planetary system called Patala been seen to return. Similarly, if one enters the Vaikuntha Dham, Pratyagdhamma, he does not return to this material world. There is such a place from which, having gone, one does not return to the miserable material condition of life. What is the use of jumping like monkeys in the temporary material world and not seeing or understanding that place? What will be the profit? Right. So there's this whole, you go into that and then you go down and you're stuck in the material world. Right? Does that make sense? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse explains the hole from which one does not return. Having gone to the abode of the Lord, one does not return. Just as one does not return from Patala, since one become attached to its enjoyment. What is the use of the ignorant person performing karmas? He should strive to attain Vaikuntha. Right? So now there's a whole out of the universe. So you can either go to Vaikuntha or down to Patala. Right? So, like that. Because here that one, see the difference is that in Paranjana's allegory, that one Purusha was the king, was the Jiva. But here that one Purusha is the Supreme Lord. Right? And it's the whole universe rather than just his body. Right? Narad Muni had described a woman who is a professional prostitute. The Haryashvas understood the identity of this woman. Mixed with the mode of passion, the unsteady intelligence of every living entity is like a prostitute who changes dresses just to attract one's attention. One fully engages in temporary fruitive activities, not understanding how this is taking place, what does he actually gain? 14. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse explains the woman with many forms. The intelligence is absorbed in material pleasures, svairini, not in Krishna, and is endowed with qualities like beauty, grace, and learning. What is the use of insubstantial karmas performed by a person who does not consider or know the intelligence's attraction for beneficial or detrimental objects? By discrimination, one should place one's intelligence in Krishna. So the intelligence takes on all these different forms. Just like the mind is absorbed in something, it takes on that form. So the intelligence in contemplating something takes on that form. Right? So to the intelligence, if it's material, then is coming up with all kinds of opportunities or alternatives to what you could do to actually be materially happy. Right? So we see again that the female is the intelligence. Right, like in Paranjana's example. So then here is that. So it's taking on these. So if it's connected to Krishna, then that intelligence takes you back to Godhead. Right? So that means then that you're working with the spiritual nature. But if not, then that intelligence or the material nature then takes you down the rabbit hole, not to Vaikuntha. Right? So here we see is we have these nice qualities, beauty, grace, learning, all these nice things. Mm-hmm. So on the material platform, those are considered the top. Mm-hmm. I work for those. I'm working for truth, or I work for beauty, or I work for grace, or dignity, or, you understand, peace. Mm-hmm. But in devotional service, these are the bottoms. These are just tools you use. They're not goals. Yes. So in the karmi, these will be prayojana. For the devotees, these are just sambandha. Right, prayojana is bhakti.
That's the difference. So the devotees are situated higher than the karmic. So even the karmic with the most ideal view is still on a lower platform because they haven't obtained these, but devotees just use them. Right? So, Srila Prabhupada adds, a woman who has no husband declares herself independent, which means that she becomes a prostitute. A prostitute generally dresses herself in various fashions intended to attract a man's attention to the lower part of her body. Today it has become a much advertised fashion for a woman to go almost naked, covering the lower part of her body only slightly, in order to draw the attention of a man to her private parts for sexual enjoyment. The intelligence engaged to attract a man to the lower part of the body is the intelligence of a professional prostitute. Right? In other words, you're using intelligence, you're using cleverness, you're using qualities like this, beauty, grace, learning, like that. But it's all for what? For sense gratification. That's the point. Similarly, the intelligence of a living entity who does not turn his attention towards Krishna or the Krishna conscious movement simply changes dresses like a prostitute. What is the benefit of such foolish intelligence? One should be intelligently conscious in such a way that he need no longer change from one body to another. Right? Mm-hmm. So the intelligence within this life is changing, and then it actually adds to our changing to the next material body. Right? So on the smaller is that every moment we're changing, on the bigger we're changing from body to body. Right? Karmis change their professions at any moment, but a Krishna conscious person does not change his profession. For his only profession is to attract the attention of Krishna. Right? So instead of attract the attention of Maya, then it's Krishna. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and living a very simple life, without following daily changes of fashion. In our Krishna consciousness movement, fashionable persons are taught to adopt one fashion, the dress of a Vaishnava with a shaved head and sika, tilak. Right? Because this fashion's been in fashion for a long time, you know, and it still works. So, you know, we don't have to bother. That's the thing. Let us say Prabhupada is going down to, you know, talk to the locals down on 2nd Avenue. What does he wear? Okay. What if he's going to meet some academics? What does he wear? Scientists? Professionals? Politicians? Going to a very formal engagement, just hanging out with a boy. That's the beauty of it. And it won't be wrong for any of those occasions. Right? But on the material platform, you know, you're wearing the wrong coat or the wrong shirt or the wrong tie. Like, it's wrong. But that's the thing with the Vedic dress is it's always right. That's the perfection of it. Yes.
Maybe because of the lack of moral goodness, people can appreciate it because they need, you know, constant change. It's fun for them. But we are always the same. It's like no fun.
But then within that, you know, it's just like the kinds of cloth you wear. It's just like now, is that before, you don't get it now so much, is they either use this really fine cotton muslin or they use this stuff called bafta. You heard of bafta?
No.
It's half silk, half cotton. It's one way silk, one way cotton. So it has the look and hang of silk, but it has the airiness and that of cotton. Before it was pretty standard that gentlemen all made, summer shirts were made out of bafta. Or if it's really hot and it wasn't that, you made it out of muslin. It's super, super fine. You know, 150 count, 200 count. I've even seen ones that are made out of, I saw one once for, it was, I forget where it was, this at a wedding or something or so. It was made out of the silk from a banana tree trunk. You know, when you have the core of the banana tree and you cut it, you get that yeah. strings coming out.
Yeah.
They used to make cloth out of that. It was standard. You could buy it in Calcutta. It's just, you know, you could go to a special shop like that. They make it super, super thin. So the Shastra talks about that when, you know, when you go out in the countryside for a summer picnic, you wear cloth like that. You know, super light, super thin. You know, it's basically sheer. You can see right through it. You know, so that would be, you know, standard kind of. So, you know, then, you know, have the kinds of cloth that you have, the kinds of things, the kinds of cheddar, you know, you have the gutted, you have the endi, you have the pure raw silk, you have the pure silk, you have the katia, you know, katia mutka, katia, you know, all these different things that you can do. And then you can, the ways you can wear your cheddar, the ways you can wear your dhoti, you know, and then you have things like borders, you know, and the colors, and, you know, so there's a lot you can do with it. I mean, it's, the karmis are wearing pants. So what changes it? Just what it's made out of. What it's made out of, the color, that's all. So we have the same thing. It's just that they think pants, there's so much variety in the dhoti, there's nothing. There's actually more variety in the dhoti. Because the pants, you can only put it on one, you can't put it on backwards. You know, it's like that. You know, does it matter if you have the piece of cloth, does it matter which, you know, which way it goes? It can be front to back, upside down. It doesn't matter. It works. Yeah. The pants, you know, you got to put them on a very particular way.
Yeah. Except if you're crisscross, that in a pure temple, we were talking about these wrappers we have, like pants on backwards. Mm-hmm. All that clothes they had on backwards. That was a gimmick. It worked for about 1.5 years back in the 90s, and we haven't even seen it since.
Yeah. It's fun for something.
That's another characteristic of it.
You know, like before it was so much colors, and yeah. You know, it was, everybody wear the black suits and stuff like this, or dark suits and that, no colors, you know, black tie, and then the, you know, the colored tie, the colored shirt. It was all the rage and like that. Now it's going back to very subtle, nothing, no frills. Yeah. You know, so just the simple, and that works. So that's the point. The dhoti is the most simple. The sari is the most simple, but what you can do with it, you can do so much more with it. Yeah, that's also there. It works for everyone. So you never have to worry you grow out of it, right? You know, there's all that stuff in your closet you can't wear anymore, but you keep it because it's so good, and you hope one day you'll be able to wear it again. Yeah.
Lose the belly.
Huh?
Lose the belly.
Yeah, yeah. But the dog, it works. Doesn't matter who you are.
Those in the mode of passion who like so much variety, when they see someone dressed like this, it's more variety
than what they have
seen for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's just, yeah. Remember going down to New York in the middle of summer, I was standing at the cross light, and there were two Yentlas behind me. And, you know, I could hear them talking, right? You know, because they always talk privately, but you can always hear what they're saying, right? You know, it's just the way. And they're going, wow, it looks so cool and airy, you know? And so they were just thinking, it's like, you know, but if I turned and said something, well, oh, you're weird. But they were thinking, wow, that's interesting, you know? Like that. So, yeah. The only thing more wild than me was a guy I saw going by wearing a pair of green silk pants. I can't remember what the coat was, but I just remember the green pants.
Yeah, so that's the thing with New York. You got a lot of
wild people. Yeah. This was down like on Lexington or something. So, you know, it was some rich guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay. Karmis change up. Okay. They are taught to always be clean in mind, dress. Squashed mosquito. And eating in order to be fixed in Krishna consciousness, right? So what do you say? Mind, dress, and eating. So that's the thing, is that purity of dress. One is you have the purity, meaning it's actually clean. And two, you have the purity and just why, you know, what you're wearing. You know, why are you wearing it?
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And eating, because that's going to affect the consciousness. Right. So these all are going to affect us. So eating will specifically affect us, but the cleanliness and the dress, that'll affect us and others.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. So they see the purified, they'll be affected. They'll notice it. What is the use of changing one's dress, sometimes wearing long hair and a long beard, and sometimes dressing otherwise? This is not good. One should not waste his time in such frivolous activities.
One should always be fixed in Krishna consciousness and take the cure of devotional service with firm determination. So then you find those things that work for you in Krishna consciousness and just stick to that. That's the point. You find the things that work and that's there. So whatever is that works, so you need some more variety, then within that you can get more, and then if not, then you know, if you're comfortable with less, then less works. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's the nice thing about the Krishna consciousness. You'll always see.
Why there is, especially in India, the idea that a person who has long hair and long beard is a sadhu. Right?
Because you either shave everything or leave everything.
Okay.
You don't see him long hair and no beard, or beard and no hair.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's in the West. They picked that up from, you know, the tough-looking dudes from the Middle East. Right, you know. Oh, that one's there. That's there. But I'm talking about beard and no and shaved head. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was meaning. Yeah, the girls have the butch haircut and the guys have the long hair. You know, so remember one devotee and his wife. He was saying when they met the devotees. We were in Varanasi. I forgot what we went there for. And he was talking about that when he and his wife came to Varanasi. This is before they were devotees. That because his wife used to shave her head, and he had the long hair. And there was these guys there that they shaved. They didn't use razors. They used glass. So they had bottles, and they'd break the glass, and then because it would be super sharp, they'd shave with that. And as he was saying his wife said it was the best shave she ever had. So you have the guy has the long hair and the girl has the shaved head. And then after they joined it reversed. And he shaved his head, she grew her head. Sorry? Yeah? Oh, okay. Huh? Yeah, it works. Somebody's got to have the bald head, and somebody's got to have the hair. So. You know. Does that make sense? Because the long hair without the beard looks better than the long hair with the beard. And so since the rule is that you either shave or don't shave, then the women don't shave, then they get the long hair without the beard. Right? Generally. Yeah, it's a plus. Well, the guy then, he has this shaved head and, you know, no beard. So that works out better. Yeah. No? One should always be fixed in Krishna consciousness and take the cure of devotional service with firm determination. Right. So that's the point, is that firm determination. That was the thing that was missing.
Yes.
We were discussing why is it some take, some don't, because that firm determination. Narad Muni, because that's what you have difference between sampradayak Vaishnava and Samanya Vaishnava. Samanya means just general, ordinary. It means they know about Krishna, that, you know, they're favorable,
yes,
but they don't have this firm determination to serve him. So that makes them Samanya, just ordinary. Like, you know, so the, you know, the Goswamis, the children of devotees, they're Samanya until they themselves are determined in Krishna consciousness. Then they become, you know, sampradaya. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So like that, the Vishwanath gives so many. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think it's quoted from there. There's so many of Samanya Bhaktis.
Yes.
Narad Muni had also spoken of a man who is the husband of the prostitute. The Haryashvas understood this as follows. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all independence. Right? Because she's independent. So then how will he be independent? Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence,
he prolongs his materialistic life. So his independence is going back to the spiritual world, acting actually in the nature of the soul. Otherwise, then what happens is he ends up going to, how you say, you know, down the rabbit hole with the prostitute, and they ending up in Patal. Right?
Like a Jamil.
Sorry?
Like a Jamil.
Yes, like a Jamil. So that's what you see before, is that it doesn't work out very good. Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. One performs fruitive activities under such conditions. What will be the benefit? Right, so he's frustrated by material nature, so he keeps trying newer and newer and newer and newer things. That's what the intelligence is bringing up. Mm-hmm. The mind chooses, mm-hmm. right? But it's a... Yeah. Footnote 17. In his Paramatma Sandarbha, Anucheda 24, Srila Jiva Goswami refers to this verse. Swarupa of the living entity. The living entity has potency. Mayavadis say Jiva is Brahma covered by avidya and has no potency. When the living entity comes in association with Maya, he loses his original knowledge. He is originally Satchidananda, and he must then go through miseries, not knowing his own sarup. Right? So his own sarup, he has potency, so Satchidananda is there. Right? Eternality, knowledge, and bliss. But then he loses that. Right? Because he covers by avidya, and so then he loses that. Right? Does that make sense? He does not know his own nature, his own sarup, his own nature, and he becomes attached to something that he is not. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.5.15. Additionally, in the same Sandarbha, Anucheda 90, the Goswami writes, the state of the individual soul fallen into the material world is described in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam 6.5.15. That was it. So that was, okay, there. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti elaborates. This verse explains the man who is attached to the woman. The jiva in the material world, samsarantam, is like a householder with an unfaithful wife. What is the use of insubstantial karmas performed by a person who does not know his designation, such as swarga or hell? So the whole idea is that now if you're functioning with actual intelligence, it'll be for the benefit of the living entity, right? Because then you're going to use your intelligence in Krishna consciousness. If not, what is the intelligence coming up with?
Sense gratification.
So whatever you come up with, even if it's right and it's good and it's what you're supposed to do, then the unchaste mind is going to come up with something outside of that. You know, that's going to be the problem. Does that make sense? Okay. So because that's the duty, the woman is trying to be satisfied. So it means what's coming in, then with that you work. Yeah. You know, and so there's going to be something, you know, a little bit more, but it's not like here the unchaste prostitute where it's just whatever she feels like is what's going to be gotten. Mm-hmm. So then you can't function within duty. You can't function within. That's why Ajamil then lost all his Brahminical culture. Because anything that he might do on a regulated basis, because that's going to, you know, anything that you regularly do is going to create frustration. Therefore, the prostitute is coming up newer and newer ways to deal with the material energy. Mm. Does that make sense?
So far, the instruction is you never trust the mind.
Yes.
You got it tied up, but you never trust it.
Yeah, you don't trust it, and it's not going to, you know, bite your ankle off. Yeah. So that's the. So that's why it mentions about marrying a prostitute. Otherwise, in the Vedic sense, if the girl was a prostitute and then marries someone, right, then it's just now she's his wife. You don't refer to her by her past condition. That would be improper. So when we see is every time the girl's it might be mentioned somewhere that she used to be, but now look at her good qualities, like this, you know, it'd be like that. But every time they're mentioned as a prostitute. That means that they're acting in that way as just, you know, whimsically, just anything new. What can this guy get? Let's see. Let's have some fun. Does this make some sense?
Yes.
So that's the thing we're talking about. So that's why the material intelligence, that's what it'll do. It'll just take you all over the universe trying to find this and that. Because whatever you focus on, it's going to get boring. It's going to be frustrating. Like that. You know, if it works once, then you're going to try harder at it for longer. If you try it the first time, it doesn't work, you'll just move on. But in any case, you're going to end up just as frustrated. Yeah, actually. You know, it's the guy who's the loser, we say is the loser, but the guy who wins and then loses is actually worse condition, but somehow no, we say he's great.
Yeah.
You know, at least the guy who's always a loser, he's actually, you know,
steady,
you know, you know, straightforward, knows his position, you know, he has all kinds of good qualities. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I said, when you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose.
It's a country western album. I started out with nothing, now I still have most of it left.
Yeah, they're quite poetic, those country singers. Yes. It's funny how they're actually, in one sense, quite more thoughtful than the northerners.
It's
but this, you know, because they're personal, but at the same time, there's just no God consciousness.
No, it's all
romantic. Yeah, but it's still, is there actually, you can see they're more personal than the northerners. But at the same time, is they're both just as much entangled in Maya.
Mm-hmm. The truck and their dog and their banjo.
Yeah. Yep. Srila Prabhupada adds, polluted intelligence has been compared to a prostitute. One who has not purified, his intelligence is said to be controlled by that prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Although one follows the indications of material nature, he happily thinks himself the master or husband of material nature. Scientists, for example, try to be the masters of material nature, life after life, not caring to understand the Supreme Person, under whose direction everything within this material world is moving. Trying to be the masters of material nature, they are imitation gods who declare to the public that scientific advancement will one day be able to avoid the so-called control of God. In fact, however, the living being, unable to control the rulings of God, is forced to associate with a prostitute of polluted intelligence and accept various material bodies. So it'll just take you through the material situations. Does that make sense? Yeah. Narad Muni had said that there is a river flowing in both directions. The Haryashvas understood the purport of this statement. Material nature functions in two ways, by creation and dissolution. Thus, the river of material nature flows both ways. A living entity who unknowingly falls in this river is submerged and in its waves, and since the current is swifter near the banks of the river, he is unable to get out. What will be the benefit of performing fruitive activities in that river of Maya? Right? So, you know, because near the bank it's swifter because there's less water, so it has to move, you know, like that. So you can't get out. That's the whole point. So that's the thing, is since they've come in contact with Narad Muni, here's an opportunity to get out, take it. You know, because that, as the example given of the vast ocean, the driftwood with a hole in it, and the turtle on the bottom of the ocean who comes up for air and pokes his nose through, that rarity, you take it. You don't think, well, maybe next time around, because you don't know when that next time around is. You know. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse explains the river flowing in both directions. Maya causes creation and destruction. At the time of creation, the elements flow out one after the other, and at the time of destruction, they enter in reverse order. Right? So as they come out, they'll go back.
Vela means a bank or water. Thus, Vela Kulanta means near the bank. The river flows quickly near the bank. For those who have fallen in samsara, the place to get out refers to austerity and knowledge. But Maya flows quickly there with prominent anger and ego to prevent the person from getting out. Right? So austerity and knowledge, but then with that they get angry easy and there's ego. Because from the austerity they get angry, and from the knowledge they have ego. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So because of that, they can't get out. That's why only in devotional service then you can use these things and get out. Krita Vegam and Vegam and Vejitam. Weird language, right? Are the two versions. Right? Means in English, American, you'd say one G one way, the other G the other way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no consistency. Yeah, so Sanskrit, Vegam, Vegitam. Mm. Are the two versions. Matasya means the person who has no control because of the speed. What is the use of insubstantial karmas performed by a person who does not discern Maya? Giving up material position is to strive to cross over Maya. Therefore, then, one has to try to. The only way to get out is austerity and knowledge. Right? So knowledge, I have that. Then what's the next stage after knowledge? Practice. So that's the austerity. Right? That I maintain that practice despite the situation. The situation is always changing. That's always the, how do you do this in this situation? That's the austerity. Is whatever the situation, I apply that knowledge in my duties. That's the austerity. So with that, then I'll get a result. Right? So I'll be elevated. Now if I do that material platform, I'll be elevated to a higher platform within the universe. If I use that in devotion, I'll be elevated out of the universe. Does that make sense? You know, here we're meaning the material creation. It means by following this nicely, you can get out of this particular universe and then into Mahakalapura, but you won't get any farther than that. And then next time around, haribo. You know. Not really, because how do you know what to do? You know, just like you're saying, it means not here, is that Prabhupada talked about how the girls are dressing in the modern thing. But the point is it is austere to dress like that. You know, you see, you look at the day. Look at how the men are dressed. And then you look over at the ladies. You know what I'm saying? They're not necessarily, depending upon who they are, but they're not necessarily dressed for that weather. They're dressed for being attractive. You know what I'm saying? And so the easiest way of being attractive is just being bodily attractive. You know, the ladies that are dressing like the men are dressing, you know, they got the coat on, they got the scarf on, they got this and that, then they have a bit more clothes, you know, they're a bit more fashionable. So then there it will be more character and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But you see the other girls, they're out there in their t-shirts and spaghetti tops and all that kind of stuff, but it's actually cold out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so that's, but it's austere. But it's not directed, it's austerity in the mode of ignorance. Because it's simply directed at the body. Right? You know, people that say the businessman, he goes through so much austerity to make profit in the business. That's in passion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then goodness means, you know, performing your duty, your knowledge, you know, like this. That'll be goodness. Doing all that to please Krishna, that's pure goodness. Does that work? Srila Prabhupada adds, one may be submerged in the waves of the river of Maya, but one may also get free from the waves by coming to the banks of knowledge and austerity. Near these banks, however, the waves are very strong. If one does not understand how he is being tossed by the waves, but simply engages in temporary fruitive activities, what benefit will he derive? Right, so you come to the bank of knowledge or austerity to get out, right? Because you want to get out of the river, you go to the bank. But the waves are stronger there. And so if you just get tossed around by these waves of karma, then how will you actually get knowledge or get that? Right? So that maya gets stronger there with ego and anger. You know? And then we just become absorbed in the material. In the Brahma Samhita 544, there's the statement, Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga. The Maya Shakti, Durga, is in charge of Srishti Stiti Pralaya, creation and disillusion. And she acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord, Mayadya Kshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Suyate Sacharacharam. Bhagavad Gita 9.10. When one falls in the river of nescience, he is always tossed here and there by the waves. But the same maya can also save him when he surrenders to Krishna or becomes Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is knowledge and austerity. A Krishna conscious person takes knowledge from the Vedic literature, and at the same time he must practice austerities. Right, so you have to try to apply it. So that's the point. You get knowledge from the Vedic literature, but you have to apply it. Right? Narad Muni had said that there is a house made of 25 elements. The Haryashvas understood this analogy. The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of the 25 elements, and as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect. He causes their manifestation. One engages in temporary fruitive activities, not knowing that Supreme Person. What benefit will he derive? So whatever activities you do, it has to be in connection with the Supreme. You do it connected. You see that, in other words, you want to be successful, you have to know how things function. You have to have knowledge. And you have to apply that. That's austerity. You have more, you can see the 24 elements, how they work. Right? How the Lord is controlling all that. Right? Because material energy means Shankar Shan Prajumna Aniruddha, and then he comes in his pastimes, his Vasudeva, to show how that's all applied. So, when we see all this, then you have that. But if you don't see it connected to the Lord, what's the point? Right? So, Daksha understands a lot, and he's gone to the Lord, but it's actually not the real point, right? His prayers are great, but how much time is spent on Daksha actually in this part of the story? Very minimal. Right? Now his sons, now we're going into a nice... Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? So therefore the Sambandha is there, then we apply it as the Abhideya, and then the goal is to please Krishna, then Prayojana, we get Bhakti. Okay. The devotees offer to Vishnu the 25 elements, such as chitta, footnote 18. Perhaps in this list the jiva is not included, and chitta is added instead to make 25 elements, footnote by His Holiness Bhanuswami. So the chitta, because the chitta is the polluted consciousness. So the consciousness is offered to the Lord, because the consciousness is going through the intelligence and meditating on, you know, by the choice of the mind and the ego, than on all the different the other 21 elements. I mean, the 20 elements, basically. Because the mind is doing that, right? So, then here, if you put the consciousness on meditating on the Lord and connecting all those elements to Krishna, then we get out. Entering Vishnu, they become pure, spiritual, and eternal. Giving up the nature of reflections, they take on the quality of Vishnu, the mirror. That is the astonishing quality of the Vishnu as a mirror. Normal objects seen in a normal mirror are simply reflections of those objects, and do not take up the purity that is in the mirror. What is the use of karmas performed by a person who does not know Vishnu, adhyatmam, existing in existing in the Atma as the object of worship. Therefore, you should offer body and soul to the Supreme Lord. Right? Because when they go back, when you put it back into Him, since they're from Him, then they take on their original qualities, their pure state.
Yeah.
Right? And then that's reflected back from Him. That's how we see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you see in, what do you call it? Exactly how it's... I think it's Rupa Goswami's talking about... No, Bhaktivinoda Thakura. It's talking about the qualities of Rupa Manjari. And those qualities are so glorious, and then we are able to reflect them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So there is that element of that reflection having its natural pure state. Mm-hmm. So on the spiritual platform, that reflection is real.
Yes.
But in the material, you get the purity of the object, but it's not real. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Because it's our political consciousness.
Sorry?
Because it's our...
Yes, our political consciousness. Because then we will then interpret it in our own way and use it in our own way. But when it's in seen and connected to the Lord. So that's the point. The intelligence is either, you know, pure or impure. Mind pure, impure, senses pure, impure. If it's connected to Krishna, everything's pure. It's not, then everything's impure. So that's the point, is the chitta can either be seen as the polluted consciousness or just consciousness itself.
Yeah. I seem to remember the book of Swami describing chitta also as the reservoir of our memories. I'm not exactly sure.
Probably. I think he's talking there that's probably Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Is describing that you have the manas and the chitta.
Yes, exactly. It was manas and chitta.
Yeah, so that's the point. Manas means the mind in its mechanical function. It controls the senses, so it brings in the information and all that from the senses. Because otherwise the senses are just machines. Right? So the mind also is the machine, but it's one that can distinction between is this nice or not nice. Based on what? The chitta. Your previous memories, your samskaras. Right? And those samskaras are dependent on what you do. And so then, now that I've chosen that, I'll use intelligence to figure out, now what can I do with this? What are the options? Then according to my false ego, I'll make the choice. And then the mind again sets it up. So you can take the whole thing as chitta, or something, we just say it's all the function of the mind and senses. You know, or in this case, you just say the central feature is the intelligence, because the intelligence is what comes up with all the crazy ideas.
Yes.
Yeah, no, all of them. Yeah. Every last one. Right?
Yeah.
So depending on how you want to do, or you say it's ego. Okay, he functions just by his ego. You can say, well, what about the intelligence? But the choice is made by ego. You know, so if you say if he has polluted consciousness, then it's all mundane. If he's pure consciousness, then that whole process. So the process of reasoning is the same. But now, depending upon the purity of the identity, then that will purify the samskaras. That means it purifies the mind. That will purify the intelligence. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada adds, philosophers and scientists conduct scholarly research to find the original cause, but they should do so scientifically, not whimsically, or through the fantastic theories. Right? So, we're saying they should do it, they claim to be scientists, be scientific. But they're not, they're whimsical, because as soon as they come up with a fact that doesn't match their theory, then they just drop it. So that's whimsical. If they were actual scientists, they come along, well, you know, that there may be, you know, something that doesn't fit their theory, then they would, okay, let's consider, how does that work? The science of the original cause is explained in various Vedic literatures. Human society should study this, but instead of culturing such knowledge, people are attracted to temporary happiness and sense gratification, culminating in bottomless, topless passion. There's no profit in topless was big most places, but I remember we were driving through West Virginia, and they were advertising a restaurant that was bottomless. You know, big billboard like that, you know. So, you know, everyone, hey, well, let's go check this out.
family restaurant. There's no profit in such activities. One must engage himself in the Krishna consciousness movement. Yes, that's the whole point. There's no profit in such things. You know, you just get distracted. The mind just gets more and more disturbed. And you can't get any satisfaction. That's the worst part. Okay. Narad Muni had spoken of a swan, right? Means you engage yourself in all these different things. And like we said before, it's only the thought of it, then I'll be happy. But because it's not connected to Krishna, you can't be happy. Narad Muni had spoken of a swan. That swan is explained in this verse. The Vedic literature, shastras, vividly describe how to understand the Supreme Lord, the source of all material and spiritual energy. Indeed, they elaborately explain these two energies. Okay. The swan, Hamsa, is one who discriminates between matter and spirit, who accepts the essence of everything, and who explains the means of bondage and the means of liberation. Right? Because you have to know how bondage works. Right? So if you understand that, and then you understand verse, then that's the process of liberation. The words of scriptures consist of variegated vibrations. If a foolish rascal leaves aside the study of these shastras to engage in temporary activities, what will be the result? 18. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse explains the meaning of the swan who speaks. The swan refers to scriptures which speak about the Supreme Lord. Footnote 19. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.10. These words, which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows, since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode. They do not derive any pleasure there. Purport. Crows and swans are not birds of the same feather, because of their different mental attitudes. The fruit of workers or passionate men are compared to the crows, whereas the all-perfect saintly persons are compared to the swans. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out, just as the passionate fruit of workers take pleasure in wine and women, and places for gross sense pleasure. The swans do not take pleasure in places where crows are assembled for conferences and meetings. They are instead seen in the atmosphere of natural scenic beauty, where there are transparent reservoirs of water nicely decorated with stems of lotus flowers, in variegated colors of natural beauty. This is the difference between the two classes of birds. Right? So one is interested in sense gratification, the other is interested in transcendence. Yeah. Right? So this is the swan. Yeah. So the Vedic literatures, they describe both the path of bondage and the path of liberation. So if you're in the path of bondage, then at least if you act piously, there's a chance that if you come across someone, like they're pious, they come across a devotee, then they're elevated. Well, if they're sinful, it's harder. Right? So it'll explain. So all that is part of karma. That's why sometimes we make the mistake. Oh, that's karma. We're not interested. No, but it's karma, meaning you could use it either way. Like that. That's the point. Yes, according to our intelligence. So we use it properly, it takes us out. We don't use it properly, it takes us in.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.